So I'm here in an interview with Dr. Joosten Otter, who is the clinical director of the International Rehabilitation Council. And I wanted to ask you, what do you think is the most important aspect of the Istanbul Protocol?
I think the most important aspect of the Istanbul Protocol is that people have a structured way of documenting what happened to alleged torture victims. And then it can be used for different purposes in the process of assisting a torture victim.
So that's a very important instrument. And I know that the ICT has done a number of very important implementation strategies, because the document in itself is a text of 63 pages and appendixes in the internet. And for it to become living practice that is enmeshed in everyday work procedures, which activities has the ICT done in the last years?
During the last years, we had a follow-up of the Istanbul Protocol implementation project called the Forensic Evidence Against Torture project. In that project, we selected important cases and supported them. And supporting them means that international experts were assessing torture victims in different countries around the globe. And by supporting these cases, we have had legal successes, and legal successes means that the final beneficiary got redress. At the same time, because some of the national processes are still continuing, and we can't say that all the efforts we've done so far have led to success. However, some of the cases were quite successful even after a short time. For instance, we had asylum case in New Zealand that we supported, or a few asylum cases that we supported in New Zealand, and one of the cases was successful after a few months, so the asylum claimant got full access and got a refugee status due to the input of the international experts. And what happens quite often, if we do such an assessment, we also train both legal and health professionals in the country where the assessment is being done.
Excellent. So I think there's a lot to do, and a lot has been done already by IRCT. And if you think about the support for the Istanbul Protocol, we know that it has been is supported by the United Nations as an official training standard. It is supported by the World Medical Association, the Council of Nurses, the World Psychiatric Association. And I think there's now an increasing support by decisions in the European bodies for the use of the Istanbul Protocol.
I think you're right that there is an increased interest, and European bodies are referring to the Istanbul Protocol, but at the same time, still a lot of people need to be trained in the proper application of the Istanbul Protocol. And especially people with a legal background and people with a health background speak different languages. And for that reason, it's really important that proper training of the Istanbul Protocol, both professions are included, and share knowledge with each other, and share also the difficulties and the challenges which they have applying the Istanbul Protocol.
So I think we have to consider that this is a major tool, and we have to expect that the support and the knowledge about the Istanbul Protocol is going to grow over the next decade.
Yeah, I think you're fully right there. That's from the inception of the Istanbul Protocol until now. There are quite a few publications already, so the knowledge is increasing, but still a lot of knowledge need to be created. And I think also it makes sense to have the training of the Istanbul Protocol in the basic curricula of both health and legal professionals.
Yes, it's a very important point that we consider strategies for mainstreaming. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the first activities in the implementation process were targeting countries where torture is ongoing and where the conditions are very tricky, where it might not be easy to implement it as part of mainstream knowledge in the legal and medical professions. But I think in Europe it should be a standard that the universities and the medical associations, legal associations, take up as part of their basic training.
Yeah, and I think even to some extent also people working with asylum seekers, for instance, in detention centers. Mm. Because, well, as we all know, that around 30% of all asylum seekers are torture victims, but someone should be the first to recognize that.
I think people are at a great risk, and we need to recognize torture survivors. We need mechanisms to screen them. I think there were special projects also for asylum seekers and the Istanbul Protocol, if I remember correctly.
Well, it's not really about asylum seekers and the Istanbul Protocol. It's the, or I think you're referring to the PROTECT project, which tries to identify vulnerable asylum seekers, including those who have been tortured at a very early stage. And the first results look quite promising in the sense that even border police is using the questionnaire, which is available in different languages, to support them to select vulnerable asylum seekers and to refer them to health professionals who can do a proper assessment. And I think, well, those health professionals should be trained in the Istanbul Protocol as well.
Yes. I think that's an excellent point and an important project, because if people are blocked out before they can make their claim of having been tortured, of having an actual right to asylum in many ways, then they will be pushed out, they will be pushed back to their countries, persecuted again, killed, their families will be persecuted, because if it's known that they have applied for asylum somewhere else and they come back, then it's a risk for everyone involved.
Yeah, I think, well, non-refoulement is also included, but at the same time, if there has not been a proper assessment, people really run the risk, as you described.
Yes. So we hope for a good implementation of the Istanbul Protocol in Europe and also other countries.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for the interview.
Okay, thank you.